the game. Here we go!
So, signing day was good. We got that. Football, good things happened yesterday.
It's a football school, John. Football school.
Yeah. John Kurtz, Tyler Dreinlich, Mitch Fortner all here with you. A lot of fun stuff planned for you today. I know that was kind of a gloomy opening, but 440, we've got the Super Bowl edition of the Cover 5. I've already pre-screened this thing. It'll make you laugh, I guarantee. We've got Mitch telling the story of how he survived making it back from San Antonio at 540, plus the return of John in Vegas. And this time, John in Vegas is tackling Super Bowl prop bets, and these are locks. Lead pipe locks, my friend. Lead pipe locks. So if you want to enhance your Super Bowl viewing experience, then be tuned in hour two at 540. We're going to have a funeral along the way for something on social media. Of course, we have You Can't Be Serious at 550. So good stuff coming up here on the show and plenty of K-State hoops. We will dissect the loss last night to TCU. 537-1350, 866-776-1350. You can also tweet us at the game KMAN if you have questions or comments. You know, I was feeling good. Things were going well. Signing day was exciting. Did a lot of radio yesterday. 6:30, early tip-off. I'm thinking, all right, I'll get out here a little earlier than I normally would with a basketball game. Instead, we get hit with a loss at home to TCU. First time in 19 years, TCU beats K-State. And it went to overtime, no less. So I didn't even get out there or get
wins,
out of
wins
there
wins at
early.
K-State, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Well, is that what I'm just repeating what Jamie Dixon told me after the game, my friend.
TCU has beaten K-State
three
times.
In Manhattan.
Yeah.
Yes. Sorry. In Manhattan. Anyway, the point is, it brought me down. That was not a great end to the day. Here's what I'm noticing about this loss. And I think the big thing that honestly has kind of surprised me is just like the Brad Underwood thing did. When Brad Underwood got hired at Oklahoma State, I said it seemed like that actually started to take a lot of people that were kind of in the middle on where K-State's basketball program was going and push them to one side of the aisle and be more upset, dissatisfied with the current regime here with K-State basketball. And that did surprise me that the response was that strong and seemingly that unifying, if you want to call it that, for the fan base. And really, unifying is the correct word. Now, whether or not you think they're unifying in the right direction or not, based on that information, you could argue that, sure. But it unified some people. Well, you go through the course of the season. You've beaten Oklahoma State. I mean, there are some things that have changed since then, so maybe now you have more people back in the middle. You do certainly have plenty of people on either side of the aisle. I think it's honestly fairly comparable to the political climate that we have going on in the country right now. What happened last night was another one of those events a la Brad Underwood being hired at Oklahoma State. Just based on the reaction that I've seen from talking to people, checking social media, the message boards, a lovely place the message boards are, but I do read them to see what people are saying, what people are talking about, and losing at home to TCU last night, That's a pretty unacceptable loss, and that is one that seemingly has been considered unacceptable by just about everybody in the fan base. That has surprised me, and I think let's use that as a launching off point, because losing at home to TCU is one that what side of the aisle you're on doesn't really matter. That's not a part of the plan.
It is the first time this season. This is a season that started with, depending on where you were, in regards to that aisle that you're talking about, season that started with some general optimism about what the team could accomplish and what they were with their starting lineup. The season had been above the line of the NCAA tournament the entire year until now. This is the first time that the team has made that cross over to not being a tournament team, at least with what we can see with our eyes right now. They are still in Joe Lunardi's bracketology in the last four in, but the point is, this is the first time this season, at least for me, that I have had significant doubts that this team is actually going to be able to go 500 in Big 12 play. I had some doubts before, but it's losing games like last night that make you think, well, maybe they're not going to beat Iowa State at home. Maybe they're not going to win at Texas. Maybe they're not going to win at Oklahoma. All those other games toward the end of the year that you're going to need to win, I had some general confidence that K-State would until last night. Last night made me question if those are going to happen.
I think that's a good way to put it. The Bruce Weber era, really since it started, has been a very interesting case to me. That really, especially once you got like 2-3 years down the road of it, it was so interesting in that I thought it was the perfect example of something where, let's call it the right and left here. Why the hell not? Those on the right, those on the left, on opinions on Bruce Weber and the basketball program, could take the facts that were presented there and spin it either way to a fairly convincing argument, one way or the other, that either things are going to be fine and are going in the right direction or things are not. This is one that, for those that have been big on continuing to go this route with the program, giving Bruce Weber this year, thinking that they're going to make the tournament and get right back on track and everything's going to be fine, there ain't an alternative fact for losing at home to TCU. There's not a way to spin that with an alternative fact, to just further this analogy some more, to have that game happen last night. And I think that's basically what you're saying. You know, I mean, that is one that gives you some major, major doubts.
Yeah, I think that you have to make sure that you give enough respect to TCU and acknowledge that they are not the, like, sub-200 RPI team that they were the first few years in the Big 12. That is, to me, I think that's a potential NCAA tournament team. They've got a resume that's building in that direction. They've got the RPI, so it's not the TCU of old. But what you're saying about losing at home to TCU being unacceptable is true in the sense that, look, you just don't see the path to 9 wins in the Big 12 if that involves a loss at home to TCU, because when you look at the schedule, that's one that you're putting a pretty rock-solid W on if you're trying to draw that path. So I see what you're saying from that sense.
I hear you on respect TCU. They're clearly better under Jamie Dixon. I mean, that's a much better-looking team. Quite frankly, you said this yesterday, and I almost took you to task for it on Powercat Game Day, but I decided not to. You could argue they've got more. If you're going by stars, like, they've got more talent. The kid that came in and actually had a really nice game, Shepard, off the bench, that's a former 5-star recruit. Now, he's gotten, like, worse every single year he's been at TCU.
He's averaging, like, 3 a game right now.
Right, but that's a former 5-star recruit that Kansas wanted. Jalen Fisher is the highest-rated recruit consensus, according to TCU's notes, that has come and played for TCU. They've got more high-level talent, theoretically, but still, it's a very disjointed operation. They're trying to get things moving in the right direction, and they are. But look, man, here's the deal. They've won 3 Big 12 road games the entire time they've been in the conference, including last night. That's 1 of 3. And this year was supposed to be the year that we hold the program to big boy standards. You know, you got basically a pass with the 6 players leaving the program. Okay, you get some time to rebuild. And if you are going to be, I'm not saying that's wrong, if you're going to be committed to the guy that you got and something like that happens, you have to then back him for multiple years. And I'm cool with that. But year 3 here, tournament has been the goal the whole time. If you're going to be a tournament team, you need to win games like TCU and Bramlage Coliseum. You know, we can sit here and say all we want about TCU being an improved team, and they are better, but look, man, it was halfway through the Big 12 schedule almost last night. They were 3-5.
And the biggest concern for me from within the game last night, even though K-State did once again show that they're not going to quit and they rally back to take a 7-point lead at one point in that game. But going into the game, K-State's players knew as well as the fans did that that was a quote-unquote must-win. I know that the season isn't over right now, but you still called it a must-win to keep things basically with the status quo and being an NCAA tournament team. K-State's players did not treat the first 10 minutes of that game like their backs were against the wall. It was actually quite the opposite. It looked like they were coming off of a big win, and they thought, well, we can probably afford to drop this one. No, you can't. Not when you're coming off back-to-back losses and your next 3 games are against top 10 teams. K-State just didn't look the part last night, and that was pretty concerning.
Definitely not early. And then once it had gotten back to the point where the game was basically even after the 14-0 run, then it was like everybody was settled down. You know, TCU had blitzed K-State to start the game. K-State blitzed them to come back. And even though K-State kind of had them at arm's length from that point for a little while, you know, it never got outside of more than like 5. So it was just sitting there, and you could tell K-State, like, they really may not be able to pull away. That was when you start to realize, okay, TCU is not the TCU of old. They're a little bit better here. But again, I just come back to, you have to make the plays to win those games at home. You know, it's in the same category as Texas and Oklahoma at home, which you did win earlier in the year. This is right there with it. You've got to be able to make those plays, and the same bugaboos came up. Not only the slow start in the first half, but in Bruce Weber's words, and we'll play the audio for you at 5:10, playing to lose or playing not to lose instead of playing to win and making mistakes down the stretch that cost you games. It's a broken record at this point.
Once K-State came back to take that lead, you felt pretty good about where things were at, but I got really nervous again about from the 8-minute mark to the 5-minute mark of that second half. That's where I thought the game, you could argue that the game was lost for K-State, because they had, I believe, 4 or 5 possessions that they had a 4 or 5 point lead, and they had the ball. And you're talking about a chance to extend a 4 or 5 point lead to 7 or 8, and that's a pretty big difference there, because then you wonder when's the, you know, the straw that's going to break TCU's back. K-State was so close. They had a couple of takeaways and Barry Brown runouts and everything like that, that you feel like if they get a basket or get a foul, get to the line, something like that, they're going to be in a lot better shape making it a 3-possession game. They could never extend it out past that 4 or 5 point mark in that period of time, and that's what left the door open for TCU in the last few minutes.
And we could sit here and talk about all the minutiae of the game, the ins and outs, but quite frankly, I don't think that's the most entertaining way to go about it. I don't think it's the most appropriate way to go about it at this point. Like, I don't think people are we've done that for games before, and it makes sense if you're doing that for the Kansas game, even like Texas Tech to that extent. But when it's happened over and over again, and now it's happening at home against TCU, I just don't think that's what needs to be happening. There needs to be big picture things right going on right now with the way that you're approaching this and looking at this, because he won a Big 12 title in year one. Did you expect to, in year five, be sitting here trying to parse through all the little details of how things went wrong in a loss at home to TCU that puts you on the wrong side of the tournament bubble when you haven't been to the postseason the last 2 years?
Do I have to answer that?
Speaks for itself. At 5:10, we'll play you some of that Bruce Weber audio from last night and get into a little bit further down that road of why those things keep happening, the slow starts and making mistakes down the stretch and losing games. But coming up, based on the past, I do actually have some good basketball news for you. We'll tackle that coming up on the game.